I'll share a little bit about that. But I want to start off just talking about, a lot of people have a hard time grasping and wrestling with the whole idea. Why does God allow such disasters? One verse that I would hope you could take away from today, take home and maybe think about through the week, would be Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. We want to put this thing in perspective of where we are in history and what God does in our lives. We talk about Valentine's Day, and it's a time to express love to those nearest you. I remember in elementary school, I loved the time when you get to pass around the little cards. You always tuck one for everybody in your class. Of course, you know, being a guy and a little guy especially, I probably liked the getting more than the giving. I love to look through there and see all the cards I got. You know, what we're going to talk about today is God's heart and how he expresses love. He wants to express that love through us to those people who are hurting, especially in a time of disaster like this that's happened down in Haiti. You've probably been seeing the news reports and you see some of the destruction down there. It's incredible. My time with MAF in 21 years, I was involved in two other relief efforts. Both of those were in Indonesia. That's where I was working. And it's unbelievable. I was at the tsunami in 2005, where after the tsunami, and saw hundreds of miles of coastline totally destroyed. Saw people really in need. But why do these things happen? And you know what? Starting off, a disclaimer here. We are not smart enough to understand all that God is and what God wants to do. There's nobody in this room or in this world that can really totally grasp the whole of, because we're talking about an infinite God. And in Isaiah 55:8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." We don't even come close to understanding how much larger, how much bigger God is, and so it's hard to understand some of the things that happen in this life and how he accomplishes his purpose. There's a story about a scientist who came to an understand or came to a point in they thought they understood it all. So one day a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God that we're done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, "God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things, so why don't you just go and get lost?" And God listened very patiently and kindly to the man, and after the scientist was done talking, God said, "Very well. How about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest." To which the scientist replied, "Okay, great." But then God added, "Now we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam." And the scientist said, "Sure, no problem." And he bent down and grabbed a handful of dirt. And God just looked at him and said, "No, no, no. You get your own dirt." You know, just about the time we think we can do it all. We can't create dirt. We can't even create the universe. And I love studying the latest in science. It's kind of fun. My son-in-law has just got accepted to a PhD program in physics. It's going to be fun just listening to him. I'm sure he's going to talk way over my head. It's going to be fun to see what they discover. But I was reading this about the stars out there. And you know that the Milky Way galaxy, they estimate, contains 200 billion stars. I don't think we can wrap our minds around that. But that's just an average number of stars for a galaxy. You know what? They estimate that there's between 100 billion and 1 trillion number of stars in the average galaxy, and there are like 100 billion to 1 trillion galaxies in the universe. And if you multiply those numbers out, you get 10 to the 22nd or 10 to the 24th There's a big space in there. Even 10 to the 22nd is huge. Stars out there. That's 10 sextillion to our 1 septillion stars in the universe. Take that home. Woo. Job says in Job 38:4, God's talking to Job, and Job was having a problem grasping some things, and he was kind of complaining, and God says, okay, let me talk to you. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. He's being sarcastic. Here's God being sarcastic with Job. And it says in Psalm 147, God determines the number of stars, and he calls them all by name. And one time I thought about this number of stars, and I calculated out that it would take 6 billion people on Earth counting one star every second for like 10 to the 12th years to be able to count that many stars. There's so many stars. Expand your mind a bit. God is way bigger than we are. So back to this question about why do these things happen? Some people might say, if God allows evil and suffering to continue, you can go two directions this way. Is it because he can't stop it? And then that makes him good, but he's not all-powerful. Well, that's probably not true. Well, how about, is it because he could stop it, but he won't stop it? That makes him, then he might be all-powerful, he could stop it, but he doesn't, so that doesn't make him good, which is not true also. Because God, we know, is all-powerful and good. So there's some other reasons here that he allows this stuff to go on. We got to take a look at where we are in this time in God's story. The fall happened back here in Genesis. Sin entered the world. It wasn't God's plan that people would sin. Sin entered the world. At the same time, he says to the serpent who caused all this, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That's the first sign that he's going to send a Savior. And this is talking about Jesus. So we have the fall. We have sin in the world. The new heavens and the earth are down here in Revelation 21. And in between there, we're living in a broken world. And so when we see this stuff, it wasn't God's plan. But we are broken, and these things are happening. And he's working in these things that we might demonstrate his love. So we are called, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are called to the ministry of reconciliation. He wants to reconcile the whole world back to him. And we, as Christians, if you're a Christ follower, you're called to enter into that and be part of that work of reconciling the world back to God. So it says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know, he's appealing to the world, come to me. You know what he's saying in the big Valentine's Day? Be mine. Come to me. But he's using us to deliver that message to these very remote spots, like Haiti, where they're broken and they're really hurting. And when you're in that state of hurting and brokenness, you're willing to listen a little better too. So he uses these things to help us send the message out. So Paul says here, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin for us to be sin for us, that in him we might become righteousness of God. That's what it's all about. Now, a lot of times we don't understand. Well, let's say it's more than not understanding. We run from pain. And we have a lot of things in our life here in North America, right here in America. We have a lot of helps to get away from pain. We can deaden pain If you have emotional pain, you can deaden it by running off to some attraction, by watching some movie. If you have physical pain, there's lots of pills. But we just work really hard at eliminating all the pain. You know, people in countries like Haiti, they don't have all those helps. Sometimes they're not helps, they're actually hindrances. If they're hindrances to us really hearing what God wants to say to us. Pain and suffering have a divine purpose, even though it's hard to receive. Let's just look at a couple of these. One is it tells us that something is wrong. When we see pain and suffering in this world, a little voice should inside us, the Holy Spirit should be saying, you know, this is not right. This is not the way God wanted it. And a lot of times we're given an opportunity to help relieve someone else's pain or at least enter into it. Sometimes all you can do is just join them and go along with them and say, yeah, I understand what you're feeling here. Number two, here's another one. It has a great purpose to build character in our lives. Romans 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Woo. Wow. How many times are you doing that? Yeah, suffering, yay. But because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. How many of you known people who've gone through a lot and they come out just that much better on the other side? In God's plan, that's the purpose. Now, I've known some people get really bitter too, and that's a choice. Because God's offering something better. Another thing pain does for us, it helps to mature us. Especially us who are in Christ. Without Christ, we can go a lot of ways, but in Christ, it's there to help mature us. I often think about this when we have four kids. They're fairly well grown. Our daughter Beth is in the Bahamas right now getting a team ready to go to Haiti next week. She's our youngest. She turns 20 today. We had a special Valentine's present 20 years ago. And I often think about my kids. I had a certain way of disciplining and directing my kids. Other kids, you know, I don't know what to do with them. When they're yours, you put a lot into it. We suffer with them. We want to make sure they go right. Other kids, you know, you're kind of like, yeah, would you please take your kids home? We're God's kids. He's taking care of us. He's going the mile with us. He wants us to grow and mature. But we see Jesus, Hebrews 2, 9 through 10. We see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. In other words, he stepped down out of heaven to be where we are. And now he's crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Then we can't imagine what that's like in terms of coming from heaven down, suffering, going back. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. You know, he says he perfected through suffering. You know, some people might want to claim that, well, Jesus was God and it wasn't hard for him. He suffered. It says here he suffered. He was man also, so he felt the pain, which is kind of the reason he did that, so we could identify and go, oh, man, he understands who we are and what we went through. There's other sections in Hebrews where it talks about we have this great high priest who understands us, and that's a real comfort. It should be a real comfort. It should be like when you're really in those bad times, you can go to him and understand that, oh man, nobody else understands, but you understand. Another one, four, is our response to life's pain helps to reveal Christ to others. Now, this is the one. This opens the door to what we do as a mission. Our mission is to serve others, to get out there to the remote of remotes, and to demonstrate love through action. Just like the children's story was talking about, things that we could do to demonstrate love. This was really revealed We were near in Sumatra, it's like really 99.9% Muslim there. They don't understand this principle, but they see it in action. We were there several weeks, and they said to us, the news reports were saying, you know, the Indonesian government's trying to ask people, okay, hurry up, get done, and get out of here, and they're sending everybody home. And they didn't, it's understandable when you have, you know, the U.S. Navy was off the coast. I mean, one carrier was bigger than all their armed forces. They could be a little nervous. I can understand that. Even though they were being really helpful, but didn't they wanted everybody to go home so they could take over themselves. But they said to us, our group who was there, they said, but you guys are one of us. You came, you served, and you're different than what we see on the news. I mean, on the TV. They get television from the United States. It shows all those garbage movies, and they think that's who Americans are. But they saw us in action, and they said, you care for us. You are good people. We want you to stay. And we're still there working. God has placed us strategically around the world. Because we serve where we go, we build relationships, and we have ability to speak into people's lives and tell them about Jesus. Matthew 9:36-38 is about when Jesus tells his disciples, the workers of the harvest are few. He says, he saw the crowds. He's looking out amongst these people, and he says, wow, these people really need to be saved. And he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Boy, I tell you what, in Haiti, talking about sheep without shepherd, they don't even have a good structure for infrastructure. They don't have good leadership and government. They've done a lot of things in the past. We could say, yeah, it's their fault. They've done a lot. I mean, they've gone off to voodoo, and they've done a lot of things. Yes, they made some bad choices. But Jesus has compassion on these people, and he wants them to turn around and make good choices, and we want that too. So he says to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he asked the Lord of the harvest, he says, ask the Lord of the harvest. He's saying, ask my Father. He's almost like saying, ask me. You know, Jesus was the same as God. And he says, to send out workers in his harvest field. 21 years ago, my wife Valerie and I, we answered that call. We felt we were to be workers to go out into the harvest. And we headed out for Indonesia to be part of this MAF ministry team, to make an impact. And it's been exciting. I would do it again. And we had some hard times, but got malaria, had some accidents, tough things, lived in a foreign culture, ate some strange food, got stuck out in the jungle, wondered if they were going to eat me, you know, all those things. So sitting on my front porch, guy's telling me a story that when he was about junior high, he participated in this war and they ate their neighbors. And I went, oh gosh, we got a cannibal here. Then he says to me, oh, we don't do that anymore. I go, good, I'm glad. You know, but it's worth it. And we need a team. We need people like you praying. You know, some of you may have a chance to go do something. God may knock on your door and ask you to go. Probably the majority of you are going to stay. But you're still part of this work. You know, when you pray, when you give, your pastor right now is over in Africa, connecting with those people over there. You know, you have given to us in different times in our ministry. You know, I was born about 2 blocks from here, or 4 blocks just across the street down there. There was a hospital here in 1957 when I was born in. So I went out from Escalon. I grew up here. I mean, I was born here. I grew up in Waterford. My family's here. It's kind of fun to come back and realize this is where I started. You have a chance to participate, and don't ever forget that. When you pray and you give, and the missionaries come and talk some more, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to have one big pizza party, and it's going to be like we're all in it. We're all invited. It's not like, oh, you were just at the church. You didn't do anything. No, we're all in it. They had a big pizza party in Haiti for all the workers there. It's really funny. I saw my former boss. He was carrying a stack of pizzas. in a picture. Those guys are working hard. Tell you how hard they're working. In the first 3 weeks, they moved 500,000 pounds of relief stuff. 2,500 passengers. Now, we have four airplanes in Haiti, plus we're partnering with another group that has three airplanes in Fort Pierce, Florida, and they're flying loads, and then we're distributing it. Plus, they're leasing three or four other aircraft, some as big as they have a C-130. Matter of fact, we asked in the Idaho area up there by Boise, we announced, hey, we're collecting stuff. We collected 73 pallets or 43,000 pounds of stuff in about 2 weeks, shipped it to Florida, and soon, probably next week, they're going to be flying that in a C-130 down to Haiti. And actually, the stuff that we're doing is just a small part of it, because then there's the U.S. military and a whole bunch of other work going on. But we're right in the center doing as much as we can get done. One day, they moved 50,000 pounds of stuff. We have 31 workers on the ground there. And we're rotating them out because they're working hard. It'll slow down over time, but boy, right in these first bit, it's like you're just sunrise to sunset going flat out. I want to share with you one story, one of those human interest stories, if I can find the piece of paper. One of our guys wrote back, one of our pilots. This is just one glimpse of how they're touching a life. And this would be actually a good children's story because it's about a child. He says, this morning at MEF, we had it scheduled to take a team of doctors to Pinyon. That's to the north or to the south. To the south. And I don't know if you looked at your map. And you can actually get the, I didn't bring my picture, but you can go on Google Maps, type in Haiti, look at the island, push the satellite thing, and zoom in. And Google has been updating, like normally that's only updated every 2 years, the satellite pictures, if you look at those maps. Every couple of weeks they've been updating, so you can see what's going on right, pretty recent. See pictures of our airplanes and the other activities. Right there in Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince is right on the Haiti's little port right here, and there's Port-au-Prince, and then Pinyon's up here. So they were flying up to Pinyon the night before. Someone called and canceled the flight, so they were not expecting to do anything early in the morning, so they showed up a little bit later. The doctors showed up at 9 a.m., and we told them, well, now these are the doctors that canceled. We said, well, you're going to have to wait because we have another flight going. So these team of doctors are waiting here. They fly out to this village, and they get to this village, and they find this 9-year-old girl whose both feet have been crushed. And they fly her back to Port-au-Prince. And on the way back, the pilot's thinking, wow, man, I know that hospital is backed up. There's a waiting list to get in. University of Miami has set up a kind of a portable, like a MASH unit, you know, right behind our hangar, right there on the airport. And they're just working like crazy. People, you wouldn't believe it. It's like a military zone. People I've seen pictures of stretchers. People just lined up outside on stretchers waiting to get in. So this guy's thinking, oh, I know this little girl's going to have to wait. But then he realizes, oh, you know those doctors we were going to fly, I think they said something about they were orthopedic surgeons. So he's thinking, oh, yeah. They get back, and sure enough, these doctors are going to fly to Pinyon. There's a hospital. And they're orthopedic surgeons, and they give the little girl to them, and they go, oh, yeah, let's take her with us. So then she goes on another flight, and they get to work on her right away. And that's just the cool connections that God arranges for people who are really hurting. And that's just one story. There's story after story. And Valentine's Day is a great time to talk about it, you know, just to see, this is God's heart. And his heart is that we all rejoice in that and join in it when we see disaster and destruction. You know what? We don't want it. And we can pray for, you know, we don't pray for this kind of stuff. But we need to enter into it. If God shows up, you know what, if he didn't want us to enter into this, he'd just like take us all home right now. He'd say, hey, let's go. I'd go for that too, but we're here. And we're called to work, and we're called to take action. Running out of time here, but I want to say we have that display on the back. And we've got some calendars. These are free. If you want a calendar, if you like nice airplane pictures. We've got some more information back there. And if you want to see more details, you can look up on our website, maf.org, and we have updated pictures and more stories posted on our website if you're curious what's going on. We'd like to invite any of you who would like to partner with us. We have to raise support so that we can keep doing what we're doing. We need prayer and financial support. We're $800 per month short right now. We're traveling around. We're going to speak at 3 other churches in this area before we go back to Idaho. Consider that if you're not already committed. Pray about that and see if the Lord would have you partner with us. And if you can just pray for us and you want to get on our mailing list so you can keep updated, we can send you prayer letters. We've got a sample prayer letter on that table in the back. We'd be glad to be part of sharing that with you. And we're so thankful that we can come now and share. Well, that makes a lot of noise, doesn't it? We can come and share with you what God is doing, what he's got on our heart, and the things that we are involved in around the world. Let's see if I can get all my stuff here. Thank you very much.